Well, good morning, church. Well, I trust that you've had a good week. Well, these four people over here had a good week. I trust you've had a good week. Somebody said to me this morning, how are you doing? I said, I woke up this morning, which meant it was a good start. There's many who didn't. So I woke this morning, so it's a good start. As long as there is breath in my body, the scripture said, there is hope. So we're people of hope this morning, and I can't help it because I'm already feeling giddy, which is not necessarily good for me or you, but I'm feeling giddy. Over the last couple of weeks, I hope I've not stretched you too much. We have been looking, for those of you who maybe have not been around over the last few weeks, at the eternal state. So what we looked at is myths, misconceptions, visitations, and the eternal state. Being, what is heaven? Where are we going? What does it look like? And we unfolded some things, and what we said is we were not looking at personal opinion. We were looking to stick with the canon of Scripture to see what did it say. Where it was quiet, we decided to remain quiet. But we turned over some stones, did we not? And has it helped you? Do you know, completely randomly, I was at a 70th birthday party last night. It was my sister's husband's birthday. And no, I'm not as old as my sister, before you start saying. And amazingly, we're around the table, and somebody turns around and said, we've been discussing heaven. Do you have any thoughts? My response was, yes, but maybe not necessarily the thoughts that you would be having. Because we looked at myths and misconceptions that Peter will not be at the gate with his iPad scrolling to see whether Tumby gets in or not. Tiddles is not going to get there. And the greatest thing that we saw is that when we're singing about heaven coming, that when we get to the eternal state, we do not go up to it, but it come down to us. The eternal state is when God leaves heaven and he builds his habitation and his throne with man in the New Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Whoa. And it just kind of unfolded of seeing that what was in the garden when God left his throne room to fellowship with man, he leaves the throne again and makes his habitation amongst mankind once again. Oh my God. And we unfolded that and we played with that and we kicked some sacred cows and we had some fun on the way. So what I'm going to do this morning is consolidate some of those things that we've said. And I'm going to earth or ground some of those things. Is that okay? And I believe that this morning, not that it's, don't normally think this, but I have the assurance in my heart that I have the word of the Lord for us this morning as a house. So he who has ears, let him hear. So if I start to change the pace and you can't keep up with your notes, forget the notes. It's called a podcast. We can catch up later. Is that okay? Yes. So let's start to just unfold some of these things. What we saw in a very quick recap is in that this heavenly Jerusalem, we saw certain aspects. That every aspect of that new Jerusalem reflected the life and glory of God. We saw that the walls were of jasper and they were as clear as crystal. We saw that the streets of this city were of transparent gold. We saw that the spring of the water of life was found there. We saw that the foundation stones shine like rainbows because they were called anisotropic. And if we remember, we looked at that last week, that when you shine perfect light into those foundation stones, everyone shone like a rainbow. The city was built of pure gold, as transparent as glass. The river of life was flowing from the throne. The tree of life was on either side of the river. The radiance of the bride, dressed in fine linen, shone in her glory. We saw that God's throne and the light of men was found in that place, and that God made his dwelling amongst men, and the people of God said,
Amen.
Oh, I hope you're a bit more excited about that. When you get your first class ticket, I trust I'm going to find you there when I get there.
Amen.
Amen. We have heard the comment and the phrase before, heaven is a thought away. I want to push that and stretch that this morning if I can. Not only is heaven a thought away, but you and I can start to learn and experience the days of heaven on earth while we're alive. I'm going to push you this morning. Don't you worry about that. I'm going to stretch you this morning. See, you were all just singing a song. You were all saying, let your kingdom come.
Yeah.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is a place, there is a process, and there is an aspect of our spiritual walk where heaven and earth kiss. Okay. You may be not onboarded yet. We'll get there. Don't you worry. Where do you want your reference point to be? Ask you a question to start with. Do you want the reference point to be the old you? Or do you want the reference point to be the new you who's being renewed and transformed from one degree of glory to the next so that we shall be like him? Is that a pipe dream? Or is that something that can be our reality? Okay, so we're getting on board. We're on the agreement factor that some of this is going to be a reality. Okay, let's just see what Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly are wasting away. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. It wasn't a one-off experience. The day I met Jesus Christ, I am being renewed. I am saved. I am being saved. And I will be saved on that journey. But I am being renewed every day. So give him an opportunity every day to put his hands into your life and do something with you. What about 2 Corinthians 3:18? It says, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So who's changing us from one degree of glory to be like him? The Spirit of the Lord is changing us, that when he works in our lives, things will change. And do you see what the word is? That you are being moved from one degree of glory to another. What did we say heaven was full of? The glory of God. Everything reflects the glory of God there at this moment in time. On God's timeline, it's there. But here where we are, God then turns around and says, I now place that demand on John that as he is being changed and renewed and transformed, the glory seen in him.
Amen.
Oh. That means if the glory seen in John, it also has to be seen in Dave. If it's seen in Dave, it's in Nisa. It's seen in every one of us that are called the bride of Christ. The glory of God has to be revealed. In John chapter 17, 20 to 22, it says this, I do not just pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as we are one, as you, Father, and me are in one, that they also may be one in us, bit of a tongue twister, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you have given me, I give them.
Amen.
So the glory that was on Christ is also found in you and me as one of the promises of Jesus Christ. As we are found in him, not only being transformed, not only being renewed, but there is a promise that glory is found in you and I. Now that glory isn't to make your head big. It's the glory that reflects him. But I'm going to unfold something and I'm going to take what you would think is a rabbit trail. It isn't a rabbit trail because I know where we're going. Is that all right? So let me just speak about the Ark of the Covenant just for the moment. So you had the Ark of the Covenant, that when you had the Ark that was found in the Holy of Holies, the golden box, so it was a wooden box that was covered with gold, and it had two cherubim that was on the top that were facing each other, and that was classed as the mercy seat, and that's where the blood was sprinkled so that men's sins could be forgiven. And it said that God dwelt in the middle of that mercy seat. And inside the ark, do you know there was three things? There was three things. There was Aaron's rod that budded. There was the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God. And there was also a pot of manna that works out. Now, the thing is, where that ark went and when the people carried it, the people recognized that the glory of God turned up. I'll just give you one reference. So if you take it from, I think it's 1 Samuel 4, and it turns around and says, and there was a shout in the camp when the Israelites saw the ark of the Lord, and the Philistines said, the God or their God is amongst them. Next line, we are in trouble. The kingdom of the enemy is in trouble when the glory of God turns up. You see, we look at this wonderful golden box. Anybody seen Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. We must have all have seen Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And you get the story and the way that the Nazis are after it and they're chasing it down. He has to fight and you've got the power. Don't look. Don't take the lid off. Don't look. You see so many aspects. You do realize that all of that is found in history. And all of that isn't just Steven Spielberg's film. But that is true. You see, the glory that was carried in that box and the power that it contained, the world has tried to harness. A reason why God took the ark back, and it's not in Ethiopia. So for those people who say they've got the ark in Ethiopia and it's all locked in a little room, God has it. Okay? But let me just show you something that maybe we've never thought about. Now again, you're thinking this is a rabbit trail, but I'm showing you something. In Revelation 2, verses 12 and 13 says this, to the angel of the church of Pergamum, write, these are the words of him that is sharp, double-edged sword, and I know where you live. So the church in Pergamum, they said, we know where you live. This is the angel writing. You live where Satan has his throne. So to the church in Pergamum, the angel's saying, where your church is, Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who will put to death in your city, where Satan lives. So where he lives and where he's got his throne. So let's just pick up on a couple of bits. Now remember, he said we find this historically where it works down. Never let it be said that it's a city or a town is too difficult to be launched because the environment's not all inducive for a church to be born. Don't tell me that the Muslims are too strong here. Don't tell me that the LGBT is too strong there. Don't tell me that these people are too much of this there. There was the church that was born and birthed and flourished in a place where Satan had his throne. There is no place where the glory of God can't break out and the enemy can push you back. So why did we make that point, we said, about history, where Satan has his throne? In 1864, a German engineer called Karl Humann was doing excavation, and it said they found one of the greatest antiquities of all time. He discovered the throne of Satan. So much so that they dug it out, they made an agreement with the government, they took that throne and they went and built it in Berlin. So he built it in Berlin, and by the way, it's still in the museum in Berlin. If you want to go, Satan's throne is still there. It's called the Altar of Zeus. And it was this huge thing that they built. So a guy digs it out, and he takes it to Berlin. So it sat in Berlin, the Altar of Zeus, the throne of Satan. Along comes a man called Albert Speer, who is the architect for the Nazis movement, and Adolf Hitler has a conversation with him and says, I want to be seen as the Messiah, And what they do is he says, I've seen something, and what was known as the altar of Zeus, the throne of Satan, became a carbon copy that they built, and they built a platform for the Nuremberg rallies, the exact representation of the throne of Satan, where a million people came at one time to listen to the new Messiah who would tell them what life would be. The enemy wants the glory. He has a shadow of what that power is. Now, what did I say was in the ark? Aaron's rod, Ten Commandments, and the manna. Do you realize you are the ark of God? That you've been washed with the blood, that the mercy seat is found on you, that you shine with the glory, that the scripture turns around and says, and I have written the commands on the tablet of your heart. Do you not realize that it turns around and says, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The inside of you is the proceeding word. Jesus turns around and says, and all authority I give to you, that you are priests and kings, so that the order of the authority from Aaron's rod, the Ten Commandments are written on your heart, that the manna is found in you, and you are this box of glory that the world is waiting to see and waiting for God to break out of.
Amen.
Whoa. When we turn around and say we're going to start living the days of heaven and earth, something better change. The scripture says, and all the earth or all creation waits in eager expectations for the sons of God to be revealed.
Amen.
It's time for the lid to come off, guys.
Amen.
I said it's time for the lid to come off. You are the carriers of glory. Now remember what we said about this heavenly Jerusalem. It's the place of glory. It's the place of light. It's the place of life. All are found in you. Oh, so you don't believe me? So we'll dig a bit deeper. Is that all right? So we saw that the river of life that was in the throne room of heaven, when God created Eden, the first thing he places in it, or one of the first thing, is the river of life. And all things are found in that river that breaks into four river heads that goes. So the river in the garden where he fellowships with man is this river of life. In Revelation, you see the same river of life that goes from the throne. Ezekiel gets a glimpse of that river that flows from the throne that will be have the trees of the healing of the nations and have fish of many kind. That river of life begins to flow and begins to break out. But why don't we just take John chapter 7 and verse 38 that says, he who believes in me, as the scripture have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You are a carrier of the glory. You are a carrier of that river of life. Everything we're saying, oh God, let's all wait to get to heaven. No, God's saying, well, let's get to the place where we bring heaven down. Can we bring heaven down? You are a carrier of life. You are a carrier of hope. The thing is, we don't realize it. And when we realize it, we are going to see the convergence of many mighty waters. Oh, a fresh flow. You know, the world is looking for an unpolluted flow that comes from the throne of God. When I said we were talking about heaven last night, I tell you, those things when we were talking about myths and misconceptions, you go anywhere, everything was, you know the things that we said? I was getting one viewpoint. Hell, I live in hell. I can see there's a heaven, but I live in hell every day. Anything can't be worse than this, was those kind of looks that you go in. Where no one would come to was the point of, the access point is Jesus Christ. Everybody wanted, well, I believe I'll go where my life dictates. It'll be in a bit of a balance. Have I been better than I've been good? All those kind of things that we discussed in the past. But the world is looking for a frequency, it's looking for a sound, it's looking for uncontaminated waters. We live in an environment at the moment here in the UK where there's that much raw sewage in our rivers. They're now turning around and saying the only way we can stop it, because the government can't seem to stop it, is that John, who's in charge of the water company, will reduce his bonus. So if we reduce his bonus, the chances are he might get his company's house in order because it hits him in the pocket. You carry an unpolluted well. You have the source that when we drink from it, not only do we live, but we can expand, we can grow, and it creates an atmosphere for fish of many kinds to be found about it. Because our conversation's sweet, our lives are open, we're not judgmental, we're sharing, we're waiting for the glory of God to be revealed. All of these aspects are found in you, we just don't realize it. Now let me read you an obscure piece of scripture. And you are going, Phil has lost the plot. Don't worry, because I know where we're going. In Daniel 9, verses 1 to 3, it says this. In the year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures. So there's something revealed from the scripture to Daniel, okay? According to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. So the prophet has made a declaration. Daniel's reading it and revelation comes to him. Are we on the page? That the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. What does that mean? The people of Israel had been held captive in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And they were just getting on. It's 70 years. Daniel reads the scripture and he goes, the sell-by date is up. We are no longer have to be prisoners because God is going to move so that what has held us back will hold us back no longer. Okay? You're still thinking where we're going, aren't you? What has held us back will not hold us back any longer. But there's something that started to be revealed in my heart just recently. Started to look into it a little bit. Do you realize that the number 70 in Scripture is very, very significant? Yeah. The number 70, according to Kevin Connor and his books on numerology, etc., that's why you need a wider library than what you've got on YouTube. When you start to look, it says that 70 is the number before increase, Pastor. It is the number for increase to begin to break out. So why did he get that? And Jacob and all of his descendants went into Egypt and they were 70. And conservatively, when they left, they were 3.4 million. It was the number before increase. It's the number that declares it's the end of your captivity. Hello? I said it's the number of the end of your captivity. Oh, because you're still wondering where we're going. It's the end of your captivity that when they were walking through the wilderness and they came to Elim, it was the place of 12 wells where every single tribe had its own drinking point. And 70 palm trees that are for healing of the nations. 70 is the number of witnesses that were sent out by Jesus after the 12. And 70 is the number of nations. Amen. So Phil, why are you making those points? Do you realize that this is our 70th year? Ooh. This is our 70th year. Go and look at the front of church. When you walk through the door, there's that stone there that says this was built by, and it says about they had a mind to work, 1954. This is our 70th year. This is a year when glory will be seen. This is the year when the river will flow. This is the year when captivity will be broken. This is the year where it turns around and says the increase will be ours. This will be a time when those will be sent out. This will be a time when the nations will be drawn. All of this is the definition of starting to see heaven being outworked on earth. We are starting to see things broke down. Because when you and I take our position, things change. God's just waiting for you. He isn't waiting for himself. He's waiting for you and I to take position. So let me read you this scripture. Acts 3, 1-8. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid at the gate daily. So he's been a cripple since he's been born. Every day they take him to the temple to beg, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms for those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked him for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, said, "Look at us." So he gave them attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles and bones received strength. So he, leaping, stood up, and he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. There is a man in a situation where every day he's put in the same position. He's got no hope. He's helpless. He's relying on everybody else around him. And he puts out his hand for some mercy. Can you put something in my hand? There's no social services. There's no dole. There's no sick pay. If I don't get this, I'm going to starve. What about my family? And he turns around and says, "Silver and gold I don't have." He makes the very comment that even if I gave you all that you needed, your situation doesn't change. That doesn't change. You're still a prisoner, even though you've got some coin on your hip. But he turns around and said, "But what I do have, I give to you." He said, "What I do have, I give to you." So I make this comment to you, the Dream Center, this morning. Is it time for your heavenly citizenship to be revealed? Is it time for somebody to draw on that which you say you can draw on? Because it's not all about you. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, Christ in me, the hope of glory, I can bring to someone else. Amen. Oh, come on. Surely there's that. We've already said, you carry the glory. You carry the river of life. You carry hope. You carry compassion. You have the ministry of reconciliation. All it takes is you to reach out your hand in faith. Yes. And say, what's in me can be in you. It's time to change some things because it's our 70th year. It's our 70th year and we're going to see things changed. So what about Luke 10, 8 and 9? Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you today. I said in that citizenship of heaven that you and I hold, we can turn around and say, today the kingdom has come near you. It's not how great Pastor Tony is, or a Phil is, or a Paul is, or a Dave is, or a Mike is, or a Billy is, or a Mary is. It's about what is found in you, that when we reach out and we know that we're sent and we go, God's turning around and said, I'm backing you from heaven. It's your job to make me a reality on earth. I don't have to wait to get to my final place to start to see it to happen, to make it a reality. It can be a reality of the days that we live on earth. Oh, that bit goes quiet because we start getting stretched. What? You expecting me to do something? Yes, not just me. He's expecting you to shine. He's expecting you to be salt and light. He's expecting you to carry a life. Today the kingdom has come near you. We said the 70 is the number that's sent to the nations. Christ in you. That's a remembering that will bring you back to the Christ, the center of all of it. The hope of glory. It's time for a new day. It's time for a fresh outpouring. It's a time for you and I to stir up the gift of God, to fan into flame and blow off some cobwebs. It's time to get brave. It's time to see things differently. It's time to look up above the horizon, stick your head above the parapet and maybe say the world's not as bad as we think it is. That God can still be on his throne, that he can break out. And why can't we see revival in Manchester? Why can't we see the Church of God explode as God adds to its number daily? Why can't we? Oh. Gwen's willing to take the lid off. Do we dare to believe? Do we dare to believe? See that phrase there, dare to believe? I'll just let you into a little secret. That's already planned for what we've got for Christmas at the end of the year. You dare to believe. Oh, but that's for another day. Oh, my Lord. Numbers 21, verse 16 to 18. From there they went and continued to Beer. The well was there. The Lord said to Moses, gather the people together and give them water. Then Israel sang, spring up, O well. Sing about it, the well that the princes dug, the nobles and the people sang. The nobles with scepters and staff, sing to the well, speak to your well, prophesy to your well, encourage each other in the well, demonstrate the well. There is a place that God says, I am bringing you to a spring. Now do something with it because the well's already been dug. What you need to do is drink. What you need to do and what I need to do is drink. But it's time to sing to your well. I'm starting to sing in my own heart. Oh, spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. I'm starting to prophesy. My God, there is no limitations to what you can do in me. Oh, as that Spirit of God starts to move, remember what we said at the scriptures at the beginning, as we move from one degree of glory to another, as the Spirit does his work, inside of you saying, oh my God, you've got to stir us. Holy Ghost, you've got to stir me as the well gets stirred again. And I seem to get, the name's just gone straight out of my head. What are those kind of water gushers that came up? Do they have a number? A geyser. There's almost like a geyser that's bubbling inside of you. And it's not that I need an Alka-Seltzer. There's something bubbling inside you where you say, my God, something's changing. The season's changing. My vision's changing. My voice is changing. What I can see is changing. What I'm hearing is changing. What I can believe for is changing. My faith is changing. My hope is changing. My life is changing. As I'm coming in line with that glory, I'm coming in line with that light, and I'm coming in line with that river of life that can flow in and through you and me. A river without limitation. Oh my God. Water that's flowing. That when we drink it, another drink, Jesus said, you will never thirst again. The world is searching for that deep well. It just doesn't know where to look. But you and I are the greatest advertisement of what that should look like. I don't know about you, I'm not always the best ad. I'm sure some of you are not always the best at either. But you know what we're not offering? We're not offering a spiritual Pepsi challenge. Do you like A? Do you like B? Is B better than A? Oh, this one's from Marks and Spencer's. This one's from Aldi. This is Roller Cola. It's not. We're offering the pure water that flows from the river of God. Isaiah 55:1 says this, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have money, come buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Come all who are thirsty. If there was anything when we had conversations last night, you heard the hunger and thirst in people's lives. The problem is they don't want to lay down what they have and they don't want to look at Christ as being the solution. But that ability not to thirst and that ability to eat from him is his free gift. Freely have you received, freely give. As he pours out to you and I, we said last week or the week before, do you remember that day when you called upon his name? You know, when the old hymn says, and the burden of my heart rolled away. when I felt in a moment different and I didn't know why. Do you remember the days before you had any theology or any kind of belief system? You just kind of come a bit like the man who came to Jesus who was blind, and they took him before the Sanhedrin and he said, John, why don't you give your wonderful world testimony? And he said, well, it was like this, and he didn't go through the scriptures. He said, once I was blind, but now I can see. When you and I have a life that says, I used to be like this, but now I'm like that. Why? Because I met him, and he changed me, and he transformed me, and he gave me hope, and he gave me a fresh day, and he enabled me to do things and see things differently. Because out of you and I, that life is carried. That well that's inside of you, I want to just pick up on a few points. If we're going to have that well, it's all right being around us all this morning, and maybe at times we can get a little bit giddy and easy, and the guys are doing brilliant and they're singing and they're leading us into the presence. But what about when you've not got the presence? You've not got somebody on the keyboard, and you've not got Neza playing his guitar to the best of his ability, and the voice of angels that we find in here this morning. When it's just you, you need to learn to maintain your well.
Amen.
You know that? So you need to learn to pump your well every day and don't allow it to become a desert tap. You ever seen those desert taps that you sometimes see in the films where they turn something on or they pump it and just steam comes out and you hear and a little drop? You know those adverts you always get at tea time? That says, here's Mary, she travelled 38 miles with a bucket, which is what some people do, don't they? Like, I'm not diminishing that. And then just for your £1 a week, we can have water aid and we can have a well that's pumped, and you see the picture of the kids and they're all splashing around in the water. That is what your life should be like. Shouldn't be a place that you and I have to take a Sabbath journey to try and get a drink, to try and get a droplet that will change the way that we feel. But inside of you, that well is active, it's flourishing. So we say we pump that well every day. And remember what we said, we can sing to that well, we can prophesy to that well, we encourage that well. Sometimes they might be there and we're kind of a little bit fed up, and I get next to my brother and go, come on, how are you doing? And we encourage each other. And it's we spur each other on and we go again. It's that time of I keep speaking to the well. Oh, well, I don't seem to get much out of it. Just keep going. Just keep going. There's a program, I'm trying to think what it's called. I found it just randomly. When you're on those ridiculous channels, like 185, when you're going through Sky and you can't find anything, there's the people that live in the outback. So they might be in Canada, they might be in Alaska or something. And they're these homesteaders, that's what they're called, the homesteaders. And the biggest thing that says about if you can build anywhere in the world is, can you find water? So these guys come in and they start drilling. And they might go, we've only got one stick left. We've got 10 foot. If we don't hit in the next 10 foot, because you were never going to be able to maintain it. There's a time when you just have to go a little deeper. Go a little deeper, press a little bit harder, and that water, you suddenly hit that whelming God. You hit that place where you draw from him, and the water begins to flow. And when the water's flowing in you, and that you are flourished, you know what they say about drinking water? How great it is for your skin. They'll say, oh, there's a radiant. Oh, how much water have you been drinking this week, sweetie? And they go, oh, your skin just seems to shine, and it's wonderful. You know, there's something that when the well of God starts to explode in you, there's something different about this. Amen. How many times have you got it where you said, are you happy? I'm happy. Tell your face. This starts to shine with a different radiance when that well of God is starting to break out. And it's not just for you, it's for others to tap into as well. Stir your spirit by speaking in your heavenly language. Let's try and get past when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, I acted like a child. Don't know if you notice, some of that actually becomes spiritual adolescence. I don't become an adult and I'm not a kid. I'm somewhere in between. But sometimes we have to get past Kalagasita. Sometimes that which I've been given inside of me. Now remember, the whole thing of speaking in tongues is that it's my internal dynamism. It's my dynamo that enables my spirit to regenerate, and I grow it, and it's often the beginning point for everything else to flow from. So it's self-preservation for you and I to encourage ourselves in the Lord, not just in the Word, but when I speak in tongues and I've got it in part of my prayer language. And do you remember what we said in the past? It was said that there's so many people, warriors in the Old Testament, it said they could use a bow with one hand and a sling with the other. That when I speak in tongues and when I pray in my natural, I can be going, Lord, you know, this John this week, he's been heavy on my heart. Lord, you got John here, and he was selling his face, and we had all of this stuff, and he was growing. And then I run out of words. I run out of words, but I know that the Spirit of God is leading me to pray for John. Oh, and switch hands. I'm switching hands. I'm moving into a different dynamic. The Spirit of God is kicking in. It turns around and says, he gives words when I haven't got any. So, hey, and then something drops back into my mind. Yes, and John. And we're back to John. So I'm in one hand and I'm in the other. I'm moving from strength to strength as I learn to pump that well, as I learn to keep my spirit developing and changing. Amen. Do you know that as you develop your spirit language, you will go from words to sentences, from sentences to language. It's not just like a machine gun that's going off. Karababa, 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 shibaba, robaba. It's almost like the needle got stuck somewhere on the way. But as I drink from the well, as I believe in him, trust in him, just watch as you use that, your muscle, spiritual muscle mass increases. Oh, I said you build your spirit muscle man, and it has spiritual memory that takes you to a place that allows you to go to a deeper well. And we just keep going deeper and we keep going deeper. Wash yourself and others in the Word. We're saying these are practices for making sure that you can exercise your well. That I read the Word, I eat the Word, I take it in, I contemplate on the Word, I meditate on the Word, I act upon the Word, and I can't help but start to talk to others about the Word of God. You know, for men it says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and you are to wash her in the Word. Yeah. When was the last time you washed your wife in the Word? Somebody, you've got your beautiful fiancé with you this morning. Good morning to you. You better learn to wash her in the Word, or I'm coming after you and your dad.
Amen.
You're going to keep her, you better keep her as Christ says you keep her. So you ain't just falling for your manly good looks, your wonderful beard, your muscle that you got from me. You must learn to wash her in the Word. It helps us, it keeps us, it'll make sure that we push through. Surround yourselves with those that you can encourage and will encourage you. As we are those who, we say again, don't we spur each other on to love and good deeds? Come on, let's do it. Oh, I don't know. Do you know what they say about when you go to the gym? You need a gym buddy. You know why you need a gym buddy? Because the gym buddy goes, Pastor, what you been so lazy for today? There's another rep in there. And they push you and you go a bit further. We go to the gym, and those who go to the gym will see all those people without a gym buddy who's on the exercise bike like this while scrolling through the phone. They might as well have just stayed at home, but the people who's got a personal trainer and the people who's got a gym buddy is going, come on, you're doing it again. And they're sweating and they're pushing. They're going, one more rep and pulling it up. Can't shut up, slap, get through it. Have you seen it when you've seen things like World's Strongest Man or Britain's Strongest Man? John comes out, or even if you see the Olympics, he's coming out, I'm going for my best lift, I'm going for it. And so many times you see it, how they encourage them, they slap them. It's like, whack, slaps him right across the big handprint. Ah, yeah. He's getting everything going inside you, but you know, in church we're so passive and so timid. No, I prefer you, sister. Why don't you go first? Oh, no, I prefer you, Phil. Why don't you go? Oh, no, because I'm just honouring each other in the Lord, so you go first. No, but it's a man's position. You should really go first. Somebody give the other one a slap. Give you a spiritual slap and say, we're going again. We're going, each time we should push, we should always be pushing for our personal best in God.
Amen.
Don't go through the motions. Get to your personal best in God. It's time to break the mundane. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired of every day being like the one that came before it? We live in a spiritual groundhog day where we have our life and we have our family and we have our kids and we have our work, and then we come back and we go, oh no, it's Sunday, we better turn up. And we get to Sunday and then we turn up, we sing some songs, we're looking at our watch, how quick can we get away? Then we dash back to get to Monday to start work, to have the family, to deal with the kids at school, to deal with the issues at work, to get your shopping, to do something, to come back on Sunday. And the guy at the front says, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? And they're going, not really, but I'll say yes. It's that place of breaking the mundane. I believe the kingdom of God is the most exciting place that you and I can ever be.
Amen.
Do you know that? If you're willing for God to use you and move through you, you better get used to risk. Now, God knows what he's doing. Go and say to, lay hands on, witness to, but I don't want to, or don't join the kingdom. We have a role to play where glory, light, and life will shine. And when you and I start to align our lives, recognizing that what's inside of us can break outside of us, that light, that life, and that light that shines, you and I will become like the convergence of many waters, that a trickle and a spring come together when they join their strength, suddenly become a river. And when a river meets another river, they start to become an emerging river that will break through, that will change environments, that will cut a new path. Years ago, I was watching one of them Top Gear specials, as you do when you're bored. And they were trying to find where the Nile began. Anybody ever seen that one? Scott's got the box set. Ask him, he'll tell you. He's got the box set. And they get through to the place of going, oh, well, the world used to think it was here, then it was there. And they get to the place of the Nile. Now, the Nile is one of the biggest and strongest rivers in the world. I can't say I'm a geologist or somebody who deals with rivers, but it's massive. And they get to the beginning, and there was a tiny trickle that came out from between some rocks that started to run. And by the time they got 100 yards, it had like quadrupled in size. And you follow it down, became a small stream, and the stream started to get wider and wider. Do not. Forget or take for granted the day of small beginnings. It might look like you're only a stream. It might think at times I'm a trickle. Hey, at best, I'm a desert tap. But when the waters begin to merge and they converge together, just wait till you see that nations plant cities around that river that flows. Cities are always built where the water is. You and I are the carriers of that. Breaking those limitations, isn't it? The days of paddling are over. I said the days of paddling are over.
Yeah.
It's time to dance in the river.
Yeah.
I said it's time to dance in the river.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to finish on this, and I was encouraged this morning. Pastor Tony, we've not spoken about what I was speaking about, and he mentioned something. So I want to finish off this morning with the man at the pool of Bethsaida. Is that okay? Says for 38 years, helpless and hopeless, he sat by the pool, and that certain times of the year, the angel of the Lord would stir the water, and the first one in got healed. And Jesus says, do you want to be healed? He says, sir, I have no one to help me. Well, I tell you this morning, the Spirit of God is stirring your water. And it's not a time to look at somebody else and say, it's never my turn. It must be Veronica's turn this morning. It's your turn.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is putting his finger in that water and that well of your life and saying, you don't have to stay the same way. Pastor said right at the beginning, when we talked about the divine exchange, that there'll be people this morning leave different than the way they came in. Two of them here on the front row are going to be leaving differently than the way they came in. That when I align myself to His Word, when I move myself to action, and the Spirit of God starts to stir, and I say yes and amen, something changes.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh my God. The nations are waiting for you to take your place. Do you know that? Everything's waiting. Just as Jesus told that man, there's no one to help you. There may be no one outside, but you've got three dynamics inside. Oh, I said about you being the ark? Because you had the word written on the table of your heart? Preceding word? All authority in that you are a priest and king? What about the three who dwell in you?
Amen.
The three members of the Godhead dwell in you. You are better than the ark.
Amen.
Oh my God. So let me finish with this. It's a fresh commissioning that we took at the start of this year. Wasn't it? So Pastor brought us, before we had you bring a plate, there was a fresh commissioning because the season is upon us to go deeper.
Yes.
You are a carrier of the glory because you are God's ark. In you is found the river of living water. You are being changed from one degree of glory to another by the Spirit of the living God. You carry what the world is looking for. You have the authority to bring the kingdom of God to the people. The days of experience in heaven on earth can begin today. This is our 70th year. The year before increase, the year of sending out, the year of breaking captivity, the year of the nations being drawn. This is a year when trickles and streams converge to become mighty waters. All of that is found from the eternal state to just winding back a little bit and seeing what God has in store for you, for me, and for mankind. All of that comes with you and I. So the question is this morning, do you need your well stirring? Do you need a fresh flow from that river? Do you need the glory to be seen? Have you been hiding your light under a bushel for so long? Have you been putting your light under a jar? Are we going to become the city on a hill? Are we going to be the people that shine for Him, that carry the life of Him, that carry the hope of Him, and that will bring people to that place called the eternal state, that the glory of Christ in you can be found in them?
Amen.
Do you remember when we said, what's the urgency of time, that when we realize about heaven, it should put something, a clock inside of us, as at the urgency of those who are not going to make it? If we find the well, we find the glory, we find the light, we find the life, then that will begin to close that gap, because your heart will move towards the lost. You'll see things. Your heart will move like His heart. The Spirit of God will prompt you, will guide you, will lead you. And the mundane gets broken. Oh my God. Is there anybody with us this morning?
Yes.
Well, come on, let's just stand to our feet. I'm not just going to close in prayer straight off the bat. I want to do a couple of things. Firstly, if anything's been revealed this morning, it was Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I just want to say that I don't know everybody in here this morning. I don't know your situation, your background, where you're from. But I want to say to you this morning, if you've heard and you've been drawn by who is this Jesus and you want to know more, you want to know more about taking this Jesus Christ to be your own personal Savior, I'm going to say come and speak to me later or come and see Pastor. We'll have a chat with you. I don't just want to turn around and say, let's just put our hand up and everybody bow their head and we'll just say a little prayer. We want to talk to you. We want to tell you why you feel the way that you feel and how things can be different. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to say, don't walk out the door. Don't suddenly be here and think, yes, that's how I feel now, but in 5 minutes, I'm going to feel embarrassed. Hey, this is what we are. It's open. We're not judging. We're not calling. We're not going to make a big public spectacle of you. We're saying, come and have a conversation with you, because the greatest decision you will ever make in life is making Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And from beyond that, I'm going to turn around and say, because I'm going to say for all of us, I'm not just going to say if you feel like that's your well's a bit dry this morning, you're a bit like a desert tap. I'm going to say, my God, your word says that you move us from one degree of glory to the next by the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to say this morning, if your heart is to say, Lord, I need a fresh touch, I'm going to say, why don't you lift your holy hands with us this morning? And we're going to pray as a house. We're going to declare, my God, I need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. I need you to show me more. I need you to take me in a different line. Why? Because I'm saying, I declare it again. I'm sure more will be said, but this is our 70th year. And captivity will be broken. Increase is on the way. I'm telling you, wells will be open. It's the year of the nations, and it's the year of the sending. I'm saying again, it's the year of the sending. It's the year of the witness. That's you and that's me. So don't be saying yes when you say no on the inside. But we say, come on, let's draw down. Let's just start to pray as we lift our hands. We say, Holy Ghost, we pray this morning, Lord, that you will seal your word, that which is of you, Lord. I pray that you will not let us go, that you will hold us, Lord God, that you will wake us in the night, that will be on our thoughts, Lord God, that, Lord, it won't just be the thoughts of heaven, but it'll be the days of heaven on earth. That, my God, I pray for every life, for every family that's represented here right now. I pray, Lord God, that there will be a stirring of the waters. Oh, my God, I pray for a fresh pouring of that water that burst out, Lord God. Oh, my God, may those wells break out in every life. I pray that you will cause us to see, cause us to feel, cause us to hear as you do, Lord. But, Lord God, I pray that that which you are whispering in the Spirit, that which you are whispering in the prophetic realm, Lord God, will start to be shouted from the rooftops. Oh, my God, because this is our 70. This is our 70. It's the year of increase, Lord God. It's a year of wells. It's a year of sending. It's the year of witness. My God, we pray right now. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, not just for our benefit, but the benefit of this world, this kingdom, this city in which we find a fresh filling, a fresh drink. And we say again, Lord, we draw from you. And we thank you this morning for your divine exchange. Thank you, Lord God, for your divine exchange. Oh, my God. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. That's the end of the Eternal State series. We'll be on to something else. I'm sure there'll be more conversations en route. But please take serious what we said this morning. And even as you prayed, go back, pump that well. Don't leave it too long. Pump it. Don't have that decision that says a diet starts next week. Starts today. Pump the well today, and let's see us go from one degree of glory to the next.